Blog Talk Radio.
Kings and Holdings, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings and Holdings, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Kings and Holdings, your favorite Blog Talk Radio show. Your favorite Blog Talk Radio show.
Some of the views and comments expressed on the J.K. Network contain mature content and may be deemed as offensive in nature. However, they may not reflect the same views held by the network itself. So please, use discretion when tuning in.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me and my co-host, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis.
What's up? Boy, I wish I was down in Sacktown eating some Jamaican food, but I'm not. Happy New Year.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah?
You really do wish you were at Yo Z's. I'm telling you right now, the food is outstanding.
I'll catch up with them.
The food is outstanding.
Outstanding. The food is knocking out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Redwine.
Good morning, America. Hello, global internet world. Oh, yeah, babe.
And ladies and gentlemen, coming to the microphone is an icon.
Oh, yeah.
A legend.
The beat maker.
And a radio show host who needs a freak. Doom, 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 doom. He's a pimp, player, and hustler when it comes to getting his Donetto.
The beat maker. Challenge
the
beat.
Mac Daddy of, he's the Mac Daddy of all Mac Daddies, and he's the Daddy Mac of all Daddy Macs.
It just goes to show you where you guys' heads are at. Last night, Boston won the World Series. Not a mention, not a place or a show. Hey, if it ain't us, the hell with the series. Is that what you're thinking?
The hell with it.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about none other than our general manager.
Cavaliers won their home opener.
Our program director.
That may be the last win we ever see.
Our chief MF.
Hey, that guy that was on the L.A. Lakers plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers now. He got 3 points. He got
Bynum.
3 points. Andy Bynum.
Oh.
3 points.
Our head honcho.
I could have got 3 points. For less.
Our big,
for less.
Our big Willie.
For less money,
for less,
too.
For less money. Our big Willie.
You so silly.
Our Sambo.
Tonight is Halloween.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our Tonight is Halloween. Sambo, Mr. Lynn Tolliver Jr.
All aboard? I thought I was on the board for a second. I was. Come on. You know you love me. Come on. Thursday, October 31st. Hey, listen. If you guys aren't into trick or treat, don't put stuff in kids' candy.
Robert, when he says trick or treat, he's not talking about the kind of tricking you do.
And I'd like to say happy birthday to my wife today.
Marcia,
oh,
how old is she? 29?
22.
Happy birthday, Marcia.
Are you
29? Wow.
Happy birthday, Marcia.
Oh, she's 58.
I'm over the hill.
She's 58?
Wow. Marcia, happy birthday, Sia.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Sia.
Oh, now, Marcia.
Happy birthday.
birthday. Come on.
She hit 50
Robert,
today.
Yes, you did.
I did.
We don't need you doing nothing other than what we ask you to do. Don't start overstepping yourself, okay?
What do I do, King J?
What do you think you get when you sing on the show? What do you think you get?
Excited.
Why do you get excited? Why are you breathing
that? Why are you breathing? Yeah, Robert, it's scary when you do that. You make me think you're some kind of molester.
Excuse me, my panties was in a bunch.
Well, mute your panties.
Yeah, Robert, stop it, for real.
Mute your panties.
It's not attractive.
When you talk on the phone to other people, do you do like this? Hi, Carl.
No, Danny.
This is Robert. Hey, are you coming over tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That means you're talking in the phone and then breathing into the phone.
Yes. And people don't like it, Robert. There were a lot of, when you said t-shirt and pants, there's a lot of people that threw up at the restaurant yesterday.
You think so, King J?
Yeah, don't nobody want to see you in no damn t-shirt and panties.
Okay, well, I'll put on my clothes because I want to hear this, King J. Tell me, how was all the foods that you tasted, honestly, yesterday? I'm talking about the gummy stuff and the feet stuff. The feet.
I'm going to tell you something. Now, if you eat pig feet, you're going to love cow feet because it's the same kind of taste without all the salt, you know, and with pork do to you, you know, it gives us high blood pressure.
Right.
And beef doesn't?
No,
I mean goat. Goat doesn't?
No, because it doesn't have the high sugar, high salt intake that that pig has. That the
really?
Pork has. Yeah.
So are you going to eat any more goat?
No.
What about crow? are you going to eat any more crow? You going to eat crow? Do they have crow on the menu?
they don't have crow. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you what tripped me out.
What?
Because after the show, I stayed there and played dominoes.
Okay.
With somebody. And so I'm there till like 1 o'clock. And
wow.
This woman walked in.
Woman.
Ordered, and she and her husband came all the way from Rancho Cordova, which is at least a 25, 30-minute drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. They came all the way from Rancho Cordova to this restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
To get chicken feet.
Chicken feet?
Wow.
Chicken feet.
To get chicken feet?
That's like chickens with a lip.
I hear about it on the radio.
I don't, you know what? The food is that good, Johnny.
Oh, okay.
The food is that good. The food
chicken
is just
feet.
That good.
What goes
know,
with the chicken feet? What goes with
I
the food with
listen,
chicken feet?
Let me tell you what it was, Lynn. It was in the chicken feet were in a
chicken feet.
Were in a styrofoam container that was about 5 inches high, and it was packed in with just chicken feet.
Huh.
Just I'm talking about the little feet that they walk on. Those little things,
right.
Not the leg, not the chicken feet, just the feet part.
Oh right. No.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Why did they get the plantain? Chicken feet. I mean, they say, what would you like to have? There's a hamburger here. We've got pie. We've got pie. We've got chicken feet. And we have curry chicken. Give me the chicken feet. Give me the chicken feet. Give me
man,
like a half a pound.
They wouldn't even be in the running. They wouldn't be in the running, man.
But that chicken feet and that curry, I mean, that chicken curry and that jerk chicken.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now
we got jerk chicken. We got jerk chicken for you.
Yeah.
We got rice.
The chicken is incredible, though, Lynn. Let me tell you something, though. Okay, so And Jana ain't no big eater, right? So
I know you're disappointed on that, right? I'm just kidding.
But
just kidding.
I have brought her some. The first time when I got it, I brought her some too because, you know, I had some, so I brought her some. So
what'd you get
yesterday,
her?
Yesterday, we both had curry chicken.
Okay.
But yesterday, you know, I had to pick her up from work. So I picked her up from work. You know, we was going back, to the house. And then, but I had got the food earlier. And so when we got to the house, the food was here already. And so I said, you know, there's some curry chicken here. And she started clapping.
Like a baby. Like a baby, when a baby sees the food that they like, they get all geek. Yeah.
Did she really start clapping, King J?
Get it.
Because the food is that good, Robert.
It's euphoric,
man.
Huh?
When you use the word outstanding, I know it's good, King J.
Yozy's is euphoric. And then clap.
Outstanding.
Oh, my God.
The food tasted beautiful.
Man.
Oh, my God.
What was your favorite side that you've had so far?
Well, I love their greens.
And they make greens, too?
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be the plantains, but damn, and I don't really like sweet potato, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
But they damn sweet potato was so good. The sweet potato melted in my mouth, Lynn.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh.
It literally melted in my mouth.
Wow.
Well, King J, I got an idea. When we have an anniversary radio show, instead of going to L.A., let's go to Sacramento and go to that restaurant.
I'm going to tell y'all something right now. Remember I said this. She got the kind of restaurant. I mean, because the place, you know, if you wanted to sit in the place, it literally holds five people. Inside, you know what I'm saying? And then outside, she's got a table where eight or nine people can sit. But she's going to end up, she's the kind of restaurant that will end up being somebody white is going to go to her place, and they're going to say, we want you over here. And what I hope she doesn't do is I hope she doesn't shut the little place down. I hope she keeps that place. But goes to open up the bigger place too, because that's what's going to happen. Because the food is that good, and the soul fingers in the neighborhood, you know,
soul fingers.
You know, I don't know if they're gonna support it or not, but they should. They should.
Well, what an average price of $6 a plate? They should, King J.
$6.50. Okay, and when I say $6.50, man, you got the rice and peas, you got the curry chicken, or the jerk chicken or whatever you're getting, and you get the greens or the plantain or the, you know, whatever side order you want.
Okay. So you know what that means for that price? All the other All the other restaurants are ripping you off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, Lion, you know, usually soul food restaurants are more expensive than, like, say, going to Denny's or something. And $6.50 is really affordable.
That's not so. That's not all black restaurants are not like that. How can you say that?
If you want some hot dinner, if you want one of them chicken dinners, man, a five pork chops, mother pork chop dinner, man, they cost... They cost $15, man.
Yeah, they are. That's true. You know, but you got to remember, Robert.
Yeah.
Denny's is giving you some pigeons, bacon. You know, they're making up a meat that they're giving you. It ain't no real meat that they're giving you. It's a meat makeup.
Meat byproduct.
Yeah, by Monsanto's.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and then the plates, you know, and because they buy in bulk, they can sell in bulk, you know. So, So it's you know they get a better price. But I will say this, you know, her prices are indicative of her rent, because it's not a high rent district where she's at. So she's
wow.
got a good price, and you know, and I'm telling you guys, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. And I can't eat at Yo Z's all the time, because I'm going to tell you right now, y'all be saying, yo, Jay, you might want to stop eating at Yo Z's, round boy.
Round boy. With your fat ass. Hey, with your fat ass. Welcome
exactly.
to the fat club. Welcome to the fat
club. Well, she let me join the club because it sounds good. My mouth is water now.
But not because of
oh,
Yo Z's.
Oh my that God! Is. Okay, but and now Johnny, you know, I guess they're gonna have. I don't know what's going on with Reggie's funeral. What's going on? If they finally work things out with the wife or not? But I'm understanding that there's gonna be a service here in Sacramento on Saturday. You know anything about it?
No. No, I don't.
So I just want you. I just want
call.
You to. Uh-huh.
And told okay. me something a little the other day, but he was going to call me back and let me know for sure.
Well, Reggie, I want everybody to know Reggie Rogers, who was a football player, star player at Washington State University. He was the highest drafted person at Washington State. He passed away of a heart attack about a week ago. And, you know, I hate that there was no real news coverage, and I'm really – ticked off about that.
Yeah.
No real news coverage on it at all, and it's sad, but we're covering it. We're talking about it. Reggie Rogers was a standout from my neighborhood from northern Sacramento area. Del Paso Heights is where he grew up at in Strawberry Manors, and 49 years old, African-American males. We need to take care of ourselves. We're dying way too young. I remember when Roddy Jackson, my cousin, said to me, man, people are dying earlier. Are dying younger. And I said, no, they're not. People are dying older now. Overall, people are dying older, but African-American males are starting to die way too young.
Jay King's News Reel.
Woman Tearweave had worms that hatched eggs inside her scalp.
Oh, no.
A young lady in Nairobi, Kenya, by the name of Irene Mayengo, said that she paid $5,500 in, I don't know what their money is, for a weave made out of human hair. 2 weeks after the weave was put in place, the woman went to see a doctor about having intense and uncontrollable headaches. The doctors didn't know what was wrong right away, and administered drugs to her to lessen the headache. But then the headache would flare up worse than ever before. After multiple brain scans and blood tests, Mayengo still didn't know what was causing her headache. It wasn't until she went to a doctor who checked her scalp and found that what it was. Worms were digging into her skull below the beautiful weave. With further testing, the worms were hatching eggs. The manager of the salon said they're extremely upset about the entire situation. The manager also revealed that 10 weaves have been made from the infested pack of hair that contained over 150 pieces. The salon manager said she did not want to release her name, but said she will talk to her suppliers to find out more about what happened. The manager claims that their hair came from the UK, the United States, and India. Irene was lucky enough to survive the terrible ordeal by shaving her head and taking antibiotics. A 16-year-old girl in Bora Bora, Kenya, died from a spider in her scalp and biting her. The poison made its way to her bloodstream and produced constant headaches before she died. The most disturbing part of the entire thing is that the worms seem to be native to a rotten corpse. So some of the natural hair weaves may have come from a dead body.
Whoa.
Yeah.
King J, I think they're trying to kill people over population control.
Ooh, this is a great Halloween story, though.
And brand new mattresses, putting the worms in wigs, man, spiders. What's going on, King J?
It's a great Halloween story, though. Yeah.
That's why I never used to put on anybody else's hat. Ringworm.
Yeah, yeah, I ain't into that either, Johnny.
First of all, ain't nobody trying to control the damn population by putting worms in hair weeds. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Well, King J, if you watch all the reality shows, Love and Hip Hop, NBA Housewives.
That's the problem.
Fags go to Houston.
That's the problem.
They all wear weeds, man.
That's the problem. That's something that only Lex Luthor would try to do. It's a cartoon practice, but it ain't real.
Robert, first
yes,
of all,
King J.
This isn't an everyday happenstance. This is something. This is rare. That's why it's news. Okay.
Well, I guarantee you, this is the start of a major epidemic. This is what I predict.
No, it ain't.
You gonna watch all the reality show Kim Kardashian, the Kardashians, they're gonna be scratching their head, they're all bald headed. They're gonna be called the bald headed Kardashians.
I don't watch that junk. I don't watch none of those reality shows because it's all bullshit. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but it's bullshit.
Well, first of all, those reality shows aren't reality; they're partly scripted. You know, they make scenarios and then they might not script it out, but they'll give you the scene of what it's going to be, what it's going to be about, and then you walk into it and you do it. So you're right, Lynn. It is crap on a stick. It is BS. It ain't real. So, Robert.
Yes, did you?
I can just see the Kardashians on. One day they're just scratching their head.
And spiders come out. Spiders and worms come out.
Oh,
and
my God, stuff
on we'll cover.
Ball-headed Kardashians.
Man.
The Baldashians.
But you know what the Kardashians, it ain't their hair that the guys are into. So
that pie.
That booty. But Lion, they all got them hair extensions in their hair.
So? I'm not interested in them. So what does it matter? There's tons of women that wear extensions in their hair.
No, what I'm saying is, I mean, and I'm not knocking it or nothing like that.
Of course
we're relating it with this worm and that wig thing.
Of course.
And so I just did a little spoof or comedy thing on.
There's no worms in extensions.
Well, I mean, yes, extensions are like wig made out of wig material, King Lion.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying
you got extensions in your hair.
I do.
Yeah,
and guess what, KJ? If I turn all the way gray, I'm going to use just for men rejector.
Why don't you just shave it all off?
Be like Yul Brynner and David Wayans and Ivory Keenan Wayans and Telly Savalas, all those bald head guys.
You could be Ryan Wayans.
I just don't think I have a head for it.
Michael Clark Duncan. Nobody got a head for it.
I got a big old face. How in the hell could I have a bald head?
You could be a head man. Go to the head of your class. Bald
Robert,
is
you do got a big old face, though. Robert, they would call you Face Wine. Robert.
I said, come on, girl, don't give me some face. Come on, girl. Come on, now, girl.
I wrote this song called Sexy for Art Madison. And at one part I said, put your love in my face. Put your love all in my face.
Nah, you nasty. You nasty, King J. You just a nasty little something.
313-231, who's calling? Hold on. I got to wait. Yep. 313-231, who's calling? Okay. That's somebody who don't really want to talk, unless they're on mute. If you're on mute, unmute yourself. See, man, we got to give people time to unmute themselves now.
Mm-hmm.
Because people that listen to our show, you know.
They know.
They know to be on mute.
They know the ropes.
little Kardashian sneaking in trying to call.
I doubt it. We're the last thing on the Kardashian's mind. Last thing. None of us play football or basketball, so.
But Ryan, you're a rapper, just like Kanye.
Oh, man, you might have some. Man, now you might have some Kardashian action.
Yeah, daddy.
We're not in the same league, baby. Not that, honey. Come on, daddy.
Is grandmother still alive?
Oh, why are you trying to put Lynn with the grandmother, daddy? That's right, boss, daddy.
That's right, boss man. I can understand where you're coming from, baby.
Yeah, baby.
I thought you was a graham cracker, daddy.
Speaking of daddy,
Jay King's News Reel.
Woman writes open letter telling her womanizing pastor and father to go to hell. A young woman who has some issues with her dad, a prominent pastor, felt compelled to write a public letter to her father telling him to go to hell. The letter, published on Chicago Now, got a lot of attention and shed light on the constant battles that can often occur between fathers and their daughters who sometimes don't feel they're doing enough. LaShonda Matlock starts off by calling out her father, Pastor Bill Atkins, for being married and conceiving her out of wedlock. There are times in life when you need to speak up, voice an opinion, or just tell it all. This is one of those moments. I find myself at a crossroads where the past and the present seem to meet, and it's not a place I wish to be. Born in Memphis, Tennessee, the illegitimate daughter of a married pastor, Bill Atkins, my life was nothing but controversy. I grew up in an upper middle class family that happened to be 5 blocks from my father's church. He never visited, but I always knew he was there. LaShonda says that her father didn't want to communicate with her and even sent a cease and desist letter to her mother telling the family not to communicate with them. She also said that by age 10, I was a figment of my own imagination. I didn't exist. My last name was a lie, and all records of me were buried in a black hole. The woman also went down a list of a bunch of other children that she met along the way from the same father, many of them illegitimate. She says that her father's irresponsible behavior was the subject of continuous speculation and attacks from people she didn't even know. She then spoke of meeting her stepsister, who was also a product of the pastor's affairs. She also was the same age, meaning that the pastor's bedroom behavior was less than preacher-like. My stepmother walked into the room holding the hand of my half-sister, Tahia Atkins. Tahia is the same age as me and knew nothing of my existence. But at the same time, she knew nothing of hers. She was also the daughter of an affair, an act covered up and made to look like an adoption. But that was not the truth. The adoption was due to Bill's first wife, known lovingly as Big Tay. She could never have kids. I felt sadness looking into her eyes because we were in many ways the exact same. She says that when she tried to reach out to her father to meet him at age 29, she was stopped by an armed bodyguard who reached for his gun. She says that the pastor barely acknowledged her, even though she yelled out her forgiveness. What's a trip is that the pastor got a bodyguard. I guess he ain't going to get shot like the other pastor. As he began to exit the shop, I realized my chance was almost gone, and I had to do something quick. I started to run towards him, but his armed bodyguard saw me and reached for his gun. I slid to a halt and knew the only thing I could do was yell, so I did. "I forgive you," I shouted. He nodded. That was my only acknowledgment I have ever received. LaShonda goes on to admit that she's bitter
and that her father is nothing more than a sad hypocrite to treat her in such a horrible way. She mentions little about the mothers who agreed to sleep with the man who was creating so many children, for they too hold some accountability in her situation. But she says that a man who sits in the pulpit, makes a lot of babies out of wedlock, and doesn't acknowledge his mistakes is not worthy in the eyes of God or anyone else. Am I bitter? Yes. A man of the cloth preaching to his flock how to live and walk the path of God, yet having several children outside of marriage and never righting his wrongs is despicable to me. Living day after day full of lies and hiding your past for a manufactured image to appease your followers, I wonder how does he even live with himself sometimes. But as he claims to walk the path of righteousness, yet steadily head in the opposite direction, all I can do is let go and move. That is his role, not mine. I can no more make someone love me or to be a father. That part of my life is gone. I have grieved and suffered. She ends her letter by telling her father to go to hell and then mentions that he is a pastor at the Greater Imani Church located in Memphis, Tennessee. So, Lynn, someone, this is why I have an issue with the church, because the church is going to let him continue to be, you know, and what they're going to say is, now the pastor, he's just a man, just like everybody else. He has
faults. Now, hold on. They're going to say it with that just same like dialect.
Now you know
that he's a man just like everybody else. He makes mistakes. He has frailties and faults, and we cannot hold him accountable for such things. We can only hope that God talks to him.
You know, what's really sad is when stuff like this happens. Like you say, they give an they don't care. They're going to still go to the same church.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Preachers of L.A., you know, all that glam and glimmer and all that other stuff. The congregation don't give a shit. They're still going to go. You know, even if they don't say that you know, he's a human. And that's
right.
Terrible.
Because
it's terrible.
But that's because, man, the brainwashing that's taken place in the church and how the ideology of it all has been. It has been impregnated into these people from the beginning to make, you know, to, so that the preacher can do these things and still be looked upon as a man who was called. He has a calling to him, and that's bullshit.
You know, and this is something. When I was young, I couldn't have been no minister. I couldn't have been no preacher. You know, they say, hey, Mr. Tyler, would you like to go to the pulpit? Hey, man, you don't know me, do you? I'm not the guy. See, I said that to a doctor once. I said, hey, man, when you're breast examining women, do you ever get turned on? And then I said, that's why I'm a DJ. I couldn't be no minister.
Being a gynecologist, you're looking at the little broad.
Oh, my goodness.
Next thing you know, you opened up the little walls, and next thing you know, you got a little. Meat in the pie.
And look like this. Hey, can I use your
meat
number personally?
I hope you don't mind my meat in the pie.
A Jay King pot pie.
Cherry pie.
Jay Rouse, what kind of phone is Lynn on? He sound crystal clear.
I'm on Skype, Daddy, Mr. Elliott. I'm coming at you on Skype, baby.
I'm almost ready to call in on Skype.
You are too, Johnny. It might sound better. William Darrell said, it's not the pastor's fault. He just loves us a little too much.
You know, but that's, like you say all the time, Jay, that's the reason why people that don't believe in God take that kind of attitude when you have scoundrels. You know, scoundrels. You know, like priests who molest boys. The scoundrels! You know, ministers that sleep with mothers and daughters. Scoundrels! Now, you know, hey, I'm a DJ like this. Hey, didn't I see you? Hey, look, man, I'm a jock, baby. I'm riding. Okay? So that's why people look at that and then they say, Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What are you going to say? You look at that and they say.
People look at that and they think, is this the, you know, godly-like? Is this how Christians are? And it ain't.
It's not really.
It's not the true reflection of God. God is good, even though people do bad things.
And I have the response from him now. So TheBlaze.com interviewed the pastor to get his side of the story, which is very different from his daughter's. He says that the letter shocked him when he received it. Now, I'm going to be a preacher, okay? There are situations and times when you're just caught completely by surprise. I have not heard from LaShonda in years, and I'm very suspicious of the timing that the letter was written and how it was posted and how it was placed on her blog. I feel that the letter should have been sent to me personally instead of being released to the public. But this might be because she says she couldn't get my attention when she approached me directly. I'm a very busy man. I'm a very important man, and you can tell by my armed guards what stopped her from greeting me. I didn't know if she had a hand grenade or anything like that. There's been a lot of vicious things happening to us beautiful ministers, and I didn't want to stop doing my work.
She dropped a bomb on you, baby. Yeah, she had a hand grenade, all right.
I'm glad to be on Kings in the Morning. I want to thank Lynn Tolliver, the program director, the general manager, the person in charge of this wonderful show, and, of course, Robert Redwine, Johnny Graham Cracker Davis, and Jay Kank, even though he's an ass when it comes to us preacher type, us minister type. Mr. Kank, I've heard some of your rhetorical rhetoric, and I must say I don't appreciate it.
You tell him, Bishop Daddy.
If there's any young ladies that would like to join the church, you can call in right after I finish with my speaking engagement. Minister, it's not a speaking engagement. Would you just read? Sir, could you let me say what I want to say? This is to my daughter. I read your post, and I am deeply saddened by your pain. Of course, some of the things you mentioned were complete error, but that's okay. How can I help you now? What can I do to help alleviate your pain? There are times in our lives when we think we're doing the right thing for the right reasons, and then we find out it was all wrong. You do have a great mother, and she has a great mother. You do have a great mother, and I always believe that you had a great life with her and your stepfather. You achieved much and accomplished even more. I actually thought that staying out of your life was best for you. You were a proud Matlock. And I did not believe that you needed any extra confusion. I financially supported you for all those years, thinking this was basically what was most needed of me. Let me invite you to come to Memphis and allow me the privilege of introducing you to my congregation. I want to do whatever I can to help you end your suffering. I have never denied that you are my daughter. I simply respected your family, which seemed to be outstanding in every area, and it appeared that I was not needed. LaShonda, I am in Christ, and most of us have things in our past that do not exemplify our present spiritual condition. I teach this at my church constantly. The sins of my past are just that, sins of my past. Let me help you. Give me a call. Your father. What do you think about that letter, Lynn?
Well,
Lynn.
Was that his letter?
That was his letter.
Wow. I think that's a farce. Because if she tried to get in touch with him in the past, and you know how people are, it's like this is where profiling comes in, where a person will ignore a situation for whatever reason to keep, you know, aggravation down on their part. You know, so I just think that he's called out, and that's his response to make him look good, as opposed to saying, you know, hey, I've done a wrong thing. You know, I didn't get in touch with my child. I feel regretfully sorry for that. She's right. She's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Daddy. Hallelujah. You know, but he's trying to make himself, you know, seem like he's the good guy.
But
when you were the bad guy. You were the bad guy. Eat the responsibility, and, you know, if you can make amends with her, do so. So.
But
he uses those highfalutin words, Lion, when in his apology letter. You know how Bishop Eddie Long do it. I mean, they use those words. As I edify the body of Christ. You know, I mean, they use those words, you know. And so people, you know, well, it seems holy to the body.
Come on, talk to him, Bobby. Talk to him, Reverend Bobby. Yeah. As I edify the body of Christ.
Now, let me ask you a question, Robert. If you were talking to him, would you talk to him with T-shirt and panties on?
Oh, no. I don't want no Eddie Long show coming over my house. I already got Cousin Patrick.
You don't need any Longstroke to come over your house because you're going over his. Yeah, tell me, Daddy. Tell me the truth, baby.
Heterosexual male here.
Robert?
Yes, King James.
So was Eddie Long.
King James, this church is still filled, man.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that?
Dummies.
Like I said earlier, the congregation don't give a shit. You know, they're just programmed and they just keep coming back, you know, like this. Forgive me. Yeah, we do. Come on. Just get on with the pass the collection plate around and just get on with the sermon. You know, the game's going to be on in a half hour. You need to get your ass out of the pulpit so we can get home in time. They don't care. Yeah, because, you know, when I was a little kid, they would say little things like, you know, God doesn't care how you look. But you better have a suit on, nigga.
You know what? You can see how unhealthy the church is by the look of the congregation. You know, there's a lot of obesity in the congregation.
Sadness.
There's a lot of sadness, a lot of homosexuality, you know, undercover, and a lot of sexual deviance in the congregation. You know, these are things that just happen because it's not healthy. The church isn't healthy. The atmosphere isn't healthy, and I don't care what it is. And I say it all the time, you know, if you have drama around you in any way, form, or fashion, it's because it's a part of who you are and what you do. Okay, so this is what the Blaze, this is from the Blaze. They say, the pastor does say that he paid 18 years of child support and that he wasn't a deadbeat dad. He just said that he stayed away mainly because she had a stepfather. I never had any request to look back on her life. She had taken the name of her stepfather, he told the Blaze. I did the best thing I could do, and I paid 18 years of child support. It looked like everything else was in good service, great family, great education. He says that he wanted to keep things consistent for her mother, which is why he didn't intervene in her life. He also admits that he wasn't living a Christian lifestyle when his daughter was born. I just didn't at the time. Didn't see any need for me to confuse things because things looked so well, he said. It wasn't one of those things that I didn't want to be around. He then went on to talk about his public notoriety in Memphis and how this has shaped him as a person. I have been a public figure for over 40 years. Everybody knows me in Memphis. I've been in billboards, television. My life was an open book, Atkins said. When God called me to the pulpit, I said, you've got to remember where I came from. God calls people who have been through things, people who can identify with the trials and tribulations that people go through. The pastor also says that the young lady's allegations that someone reached for a gun to stop her from approaching him were untrue. He said that a deacon from the church did intervene, but there were no weapons present at the time. When I saw her, when she saw me, she asked me, "Do you know who I am?" he recalls. "What do you think? Is he full of it or is she exaggerating? Can preachers live any life that they want and think that it all washes away because they have now become Christians? What about the long-term consequences of our behavior?" So I will say this. You know, I don't know anybody walking around the planet that haven't made mistakes. You know, but you have to face them. You have to face the issue and deal with it. And if you don't, the issue will face you and deal with you. And that's what's happening with him, I think. You know, I'm like you, Lynn. I think he's full of shit on a stick.
That shit and, comes in a cup, too, in case you don't like the cone.
I don't like shit on a stick. Well, we've got a cone.
We got a cone, and we got a cup. You're going to have it your way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these pastors using the church as a playpen, like the Reverend Lennox Thomas, and Which Way Is Up. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but here's the thing that I say. You know, it takes two to tangle. And I know that, you know, the minister usually manipulates when he wants them draws. So, you know,
want them draws.
If he wants them draws, you know, and he's taking advantage of people who may have some problems in their life and they're vulnerable, you know. So, but it is still our part. And that's why I've said, you know, when the Pope died back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever the deal is, you know, I said on the air, I worked at a station called WTMP. I said, hey, I know y'all are upset about the Pope being dead, but you need your own separate relationship with God, and you won't have to worry about that.
Yep.
You know, you don't have to worry. Yeah, you got to worry about that. You know, so like this, hey, the Pope, all the politicians, they're all just men and women. You know,
yep.
So you don't need to be led astray in the bedroom like this. Hey, come in, my child. I see you look a little troubled, love. Well, listen, would you like some wine? You drink wine, Reverend? I don't, but my victims do. Get you to look like a trust buster. That's what I call it, a trust buster. They say something to make you feel better. They give you something to relieve the tension in your guard, to drop that guard, baby. And they come on in. And this is going to be something that, you know, just me, you, and the Lord are going to do. Yeah. So,
or they do this one. Sister, I know this is a very unusual request. I watched you today in the church.
Ooh, yeah.
And I watched how you watched me. And I'm sure you watched how I watched you. God is so good. God is so good. You know, the Lord speaks to us in many different ways. And the Lord was speaking to me when he put you in my direct path while I was during my sermon today. It's almost like the Lord was telling me, Pastor, there's good things in the church that you're missing out on. And, you know, I get busy with my God work, and you know it. I'm out in the community. I'm here all the time. And, sister, I'm just looking at you, and I'm just going to – I've got to just tell the truth because I'm a minister, and it's important that I tell the truth. I want you.
You could steamroll over on that one, Daddy.
But Pastor, I'm married. You're married. We can't do this. We can't do this. It's not right.
Sister, you're right. as carnal folk is not right. But the love you and I are going to make is going to be of a spiritual undertaking. The love that you and I make is going to be a love that's from a union that's brought together by God Almighty. That's why you felt the way you felt in the church today. That's why I felt the way I felt in the church today. We were in God's house having these emotions. Emotions that are sanctioned by God himself.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah.
And you know what?
What?
We laugh.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. That's the way
that's
it goes.
That's the game. So what they do is they play on people's emotions.
Yeah.
And the reason why they can do it is because of the continual indoctrination that's taking place over the days, the weeks, the months, the years. And everybody falls into it. And so if you don't feel bad about it because, you know, after a little while, you know, because the pastor, before y'all do anything, you know, he finds a passage in the Bible because there's a passage in the Bible for everything. There's a passage in the Bible that made slavery okay because there's slaves in the Bible. And so you have people that were Christians in these United States of America that fancied themselves as Christians. That would think they were saved, but they would have slaves at their homes that they would beat and treat like worse than animals. And that there were ministers that would have sex with these slave women, even have babies with them. And everything is okay. And people gotta. This is where you better know God. This is where you better trust God. Because if you know God and you trust God, I don't care what he shows you in that Bible as a man, as a fallible man. He's fallible. So I don't care what he shows you in the Bible. If it don't look, smell, taste, act, feel like God, it ain't. And you better get to getting. So when I hear people, when I hear people talk about, you know, their church.
Hello?
What happened? Hello?
The Reverend T.A. Body got mad at King James.
You know, he got
No. Let me tell you what happened.
I'm on my
cell phone, right? So
yeah.
Daryl Plowton sends me a text. So I'm going to read the text. While I read the text, I press the wrong button that goes to call his number. So I have to hang up on that number, and then I have to wait for the phone to come back to you so I can press the button to continue the call. So that's what happened. And he said, I wonder what WD Church Tale sounds like.
A bunch of disease-carrying people, congregation.
But I'm just saying that I know a lot of people, you know, they get caught up in doctrine. And, like, I was at the barbershop the other day getting a haircut. And, you know, the two barbers, one, the lady who cuts my hair, Tanya, and the other brother, Sam, they're having a conversation about Pastor Cadeau, who I think is a pimp. That's just my own personal thing, right? But they like him. So I'm like, hey, I have my opinion of him based on me, but I'm not going to tell you to stop going to Pastor Cadeau. I can tell you to stop. That's your thing. And Pastor Cadeau ain't never done nothing to me. I just want people to know that he's been nothing but nice to me. But when I look at, see, if I'm going to call it, I got to call it what it is to me. So when I look at the community, when I look at prosperity preaching, and I think if you understand God, if you get to God, prosperity comes. because God sees to it. And prosperity ain't just about money. It's about mindset. It's about vibration. It's about spirit. It's about, you know, what you do as a human being, what you give to the universe, the kind of energy that you put out here. That's what that's what's prosperous to me. So there's a guy, Lynn, that got a ton of money, no prosperity, nothing rich about him. And there's a guy as poor as everything outdoors, can't buy a pot of coffee. But he's prosperous in his spirit and his love and what he's given back to the universe. That's what prosperity is. So when these preachers start, you know, preaching about prosperity and God wants you to drive a new car. God wants you, you know, I'm not saying God don't. I'm just saying that's not the conversation that God needs you to have in the church. You know, as a minister, to me, you're supposed to look out at your community, see what's ailing the community, and then, you know, find scripture to help uplift what's ailing the community.
Yeah.
And build that community and uplift that community and subsidize that community and help that community become just that, a community.
Yeah.
How you doing, Daryl Plowden?
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Daryl Plowden, what's up, baby?
Hey, Jay.
DP, baby, yeah. DPH.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You didn't say, you said, hey, Jay, and you didn't say nothing.
Oh,
and everybody said,
I'm
hi
sorry.
To you. And then you, yeah. I know what you, I know you're scared of me because of my domino game.
Jay, what are you doing calling me in the middle of a radio show? You know I listen to a radio show every day at 8 o'clock from 8 to 10. I'll call you at 10 o'clock. I'm going back on mute.
Turn about it fair play. Yeah, baby.
Now look. Now he had himself. He put himself in the queue. I'm looking at his. What are you doing, Colin? Good. Okay.
Don't listen to a show every day. That was good, Daryl. Yeah.
Okay. Now let me tell me. Now this is a white preacher. I want you guys to tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
Elevation Church pastor Stephen Furtick defended his new 16,000 square foot home, which has drawn media attention for being so massive. The house cost a bundle of cash and is pretty massive. But he says that God and Jesus are okay with it. He had a summit with him. No, I'm joking. My wife and I made a decision, and we built the house, he said. It's a big house, and it's a beautiful house, and we thank God for it. We understand everything we have comes from God. Strangely, the pastor has recently told his congregation that the house was not that great, but it appears that he was understating its size and value. The church has 12,000 people, and there are others who can watch via live stream. The house is worth $1.6 million and sits on 19 acres of land. But the pastor got the home for a steal, paying just $325,000 for it. That's still pretty good for a 33-year-old man. He says that he's paying for the home with income from books he's written and plans to write in the future. I'm sorry with the uncomfortable conversations you had to have this week, Furtick said to his congregation. I have always tried to make this a church where you could be proud of your church, he said. What do you think? What do you think, Lynn? Should he, you know, is it a problem with him having the size of the house?
Find God's match for you. That's all bullshit. You know, I think, yeah, if he could have money, you know, I don't believe he's made that much money with his books to pay for that house. I'm sure that congregation played a major role in the house that he made. That's just me thinking, you know, so, but they need an excuse. You know, why don't ministers have like a modest, you know, Jesus didn't walk around with a posse. And he had his disciples. He had his disciples, but he didn't, like, you know, have like a 20,000 square feet.
Actually, Jesus was anti-church. The Pharisees and the other thieves, those dudes. They
See, because
the
there's a prophet. There's a prophet to that. There's a prophet.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And what about this, guys? I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with talking about prosperity. And the Bible says you will know them by their fruits. But there ain't no fruits when you got a Bentley, a 16,000 square foot house with a helicopter pad, and the rest of your church is driving 1982 Toyota Corollas.
Yeah, but, you know, if he used that helicopter to go from church to church, that would make sense. But if he uses that helicopter.
Creflo Dollar does.
Yeah, that's what Creflo Dollar does. He uses it. That's what he says. He uses his jet to go from church to church. But the problem is this, Lynn. He goes from church to church taking money from the poor to give to himself versus taking – if he went from church to church and, you know, and looked at what was happening in the congregation and said, you know what, Brother Bill, I understand you and your wife are losing your home. Listen, you know, the church, you know – what we're going to do, if we're going to pick up, first of all, we're going to get your house out of foreclosure, and we're going to pay 6 months of your house note to help you get on your feet.
Yeah.
You know, if you do stuff like that, then that makes sense. But if you're doing stuff, you know, if, you know, here's the pastor, and let me say this, I don't have a problem with a guy living in a 16,000 square foot home if he's earning his own money and making it happen. But
yeah.
If you're a man of God, And you really are doing God's work, a 16,000 square foot home ain't it ain't the order of the day for you. You would take that money, whether it was $1.6 million or $300,000, and you say, you know what, guys, I was going to, you know, we're going to get a new house, but we're not going to get the house that I was looking at because not only is it too opulent, I don't want the scrutiny on God. Because whatever I do, God is going to be scrutinized. That's another thing that people have to understand. When you, when a minister takes on that role of a speaker for God or a messenger for God, his actions put God under scrutiny. His actions put the word under scrutiny. So, you know, and let's face it, guys, in the black community, you know, we almost take pride the minister being an ex-pimp or ex-dope dealer. You know, I minister know about dope dealers. He used to be one. That's what I love about it. He keep it real. Jesus said, you know what? I'm not going into a building to speak because the building is false. What you guys are doing is false. But what I will do is right here on the bank of this river, I'll, you know, come and hear me. You know, it don't cost nothing to be in my Father's kingdom. All you have to do is, you know, all you have to do is accept me as your Lord and Savior. And you're saved, and your life is gonna be given to you. It ain't no man. It can't no man do nothing for you. You know, Reverend Ike can't do nothing for you. But you know, the problem is this: we've had so many fake conversations for so many years that when we start having real conversations, it makes people uncomfortable. We don't want to have any real conversations. We're so busy being politically correct so that nobody gets offended that now we start walking in the lie, living in the lie, making the lie
truth. Wait a minute, Jay. The Reverend Ike here. Can I talk to you, Jay, for a second?
Reverend Ike, I'm glad you're here. Of course you can. Because
listen, I'm one of the most prosperous reverends that has ever, you know, and I say, if you can get it, if you can have 2, 3, 4, 5 houses and 5, 6, 7 cars, you know, this is the way it's supposed to be. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Reverend, let me ask you, though, do you think that
do you think that is God-like? That are you, or do you think that you're speaking for God when you say these things?
Yes, because I got the $50 prayer, I got the $100 prayer, I got the $1,000 prayer, I got the $5,000 prayer. I'm speaking. I'm talking. I'm talking and walking, and I'm ministering. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong. No, wait, Mr. Red Wine. I've got this. You know, you and your T-shirt and panties, you ain't giving a heterosexual male a good stance. You know,
when you're cross-dressing, that's not a sexuality thing, the good reverend.
As you say, you know, just give me my prayer money. For you, it's a $10,000 prayer for you, brother.
Reverend, the same way you say Robert Redwine ain't doing a heterosexual male a real service by wearing T-shirt and panties, you're not doing the real Christian a service, the real minister a service
Who said I was a real minister? Who said I was a Christian minister? I'm a prosperous minister. I prosper. I've got two wives. I got a wife in Canada. I got a wife in South America. I've got 10 cars. I got houses. I got a lot of stuff. I've been taking people's money, and I've been using it, and I'm loving it.
Reverend, I love the honesty. We have a caller here. Let's see what the caller wants. 845-791. Please state your name, where you're from, and your question and statement.
Hi, Reverend. This is the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I just wanted to know how big Jesus' cock was.
What?
How big is Jesus' penis?
No, man. Mute him, please. That's blasphemy. We're having fun, but that's going too far.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you what he just got. He saw how fast.
He got Reverend Mute.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to tell you what we will do. We will play about ministers and some of the things that men do. We won't play with God, and we won't play with Jesus.
That's right.
Ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen in this neck of the woods. I will talk about how silly man is, but I will never. I don't play with God like that. And not because I'm afraid of God, because I love Him, you know, when people say I don't fear God, and I don't think God wants us to fear Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to, He wants to feel the love He has for us. So He wants us to love Him. He don't want us in fear of Him. And I know whoever that was. I'm gonna let you stay on. I see you stayed on, so I'm gonna let you speak and say your name in a minute and see if you are serious or if you still acting silly like that. Then I'll put you back on mute. I have real control over this whole thing. 312-782. Yeah, I don't like that. The whole, you know, what's this? That ain't good. 310-782. Please state your name, where you're from, question, or statement.
Don Kendall Carson, California. Good morning.
Hey Don, how you doing, man?
Oh, the Lord is good. I can't kick a lick, but you know, the Lord blesses those that He wants to bless. But like the old folks used to say, have some guide. If you got your constituents in your church that are hungry, losing their houses, like Booker T said, cast down your bucket where they are and pull them up. Pimping ain't
right.
Easy, fat meat ain't greasy. And the Mona Lisa was a man. I never did want no pimp to be my pastor. I didn't mind him driving nice cars because the Lord blesses. But have some guide. 16,000 square foot house and jet airplane. If you got that big of a congregation, do like a business organization would do. You would set up ministers in those particular parishes, and you might visit them or talk to them online. You don't have to have no jet to go, but have thine own way. That's just my interpretation of it. But don't have your people hungry sitting there on the bread line and you not helping them out. That is not Christ-like at all.
And I agree with you, Don, and this is my thing. And I say it all the time, you guys, so my speech ain't going to change. If the church is really there for God, doing God's work, the church don't have to tell us. Because everything that the church is, everything that the church does shows us
Because Amen. You see it in the community. You see it around the community. You see it in the mindset. And I'm not saying that everybody in the community will fall in line, but you would see a large part of the population in line. You see a lot of women in church because whether they want to say it or not, ministers like women in church because they have a lot more control that way. And that's just the truth of the matter. Alpha males don't want other alpha males. Because when you start laying your game down, somebody might see through it. But so when you see a church and you see a good, healthy church and a good, healthy population in the church and you see and you see the community around the church, you know that good work is being done there and God is with that organization. So I'm not saying that every organization, every organized church building is that way, but the majority of them are, and the reason why we know that is all you have to do is look at, especially look at our black community, 40% unemployment, 40%. Look at the black community, dilapidated housing, the black on black crime. The murder rate with us killing each other is at an all-time high. Young African-American males battling each other. It's because the church ain't there. So what they're doing, they're scrambling for whatever they can get in order to survive. Hopelessness and despair is in the air in the black community. Ain't nobody in the black community happy to be there. We should be ecstatic to be in our communities. We should be smiling every time we wake up and we woke up. But it's not, you know, the church has a godly responsibility to bring that kind of energy in the community if it's going to be there. And because it does.
But that's a lot of those terms are economic terms. If you're tired of not having jobs, quit buying foreign automobiles and put General Motors back to work. You know, you can't just let everybody. The thing that got me, we let everybody come in and market in our environment here in the United States. Try to sell a Cadillac in Japan, see how much it costs, or in Europe. You can't just let the influx. It's economics. Are you propensed to consume? Or are you propensed to conserve? And churches need to cast down their buckets where their people are. They need to have lunches and food for their elderly. They need to go out there and with manpower, go out there and rebuild some of these houses for Sister Mother Lolo, et cetera, that are out there.
Mother Lolo.
You've got to step out of that particular scope of influence that you're in and help those that are helping you and your ministry.
I'm going to tell you something. If I say this all the time, and I think I'm going to end up doing this. We have to start creating our own communities that are forward thinking.
Amen.
So even though we have a government that governs the land, we have to also make an infrastructure inside our community so that we can protect ourselves, so that we can police ourselves. So when we see things that are out of line and disproportionate, we can correct them in house. We're going to have to do it. And we have to do it not based on us versus them mentality, but from a humanistic mentality of, you know, respect to respect. You know,
you was midnight creeping last night. Yes, you do. You always be creeping.
Shut up, Robert. Okay, now you see how dumb Robert is? Now, Robert just got put on mute, Lynn, because he wanted to have a sweet gene conversation in the middle of
what
us
else
talking
is
about
new?
God.
What else is new?
Yeah.
Bobby Buffoon.
Let me see. I think Tina's calling us. Hey, Tina.
Hey.
I love listening to you guys.
I when I went to talk, you were talking about the ministers and the men of faith, and you had not touched upon then about there are some wonderful men of faith that are making a difference in our churches, that are saying, no, we're not going to get into this drama stuff. And when you were talking about that pastor and his daughter, you failed to, or maybe you didn't, maybe I missed it, but you failed to talk about the mother. She was as much at fault at this as the pastor was. She knew what she was doing.
The problem is this, though, and I agree with you, Tina, but the difference is this. The mother ain't getting in front of a church every Sunday and throughout the week telling people how to live a righteous life, how to do the right thing. And, you know, we don't know much about the mother, but we do know that the minister is prominent, that he's been in the public eye for 40 years, and this young lady is 29 years old. So that tells us that he was 11 years a minister when he was putting his pee-pee in the pee-pee hole.
Yeah, and okay. I pray for the daughter. I pray for the daughter because she's got a lot of anger issues because, you know what, she's had many opportunities, it sounds like, what you have said. She's had many opportunities to try and get a hold of her dad, and he just doesn't wish to have a relationship. And right. You can tell he doesn't. So why can't she go on from there and say, you know what, maybe it's God's will that I don't get in touch with him. And,
I don't believe those anger issues. That's not God's will, that's why. See, this is man, and this is what man does. See, it's God's will that we are a family, that we are a unit, that we are all together. That's God's will. This is man's will that we're dealing with. So you got man's will versus God's will. So no, it's not God's will that she doesn't get in touch with him. This is a young woman who is, girls need fathers if they don't need nothing else. My little girl is 10 years old. I call her every day and tell her she's the love of my life, the apple of my eye, and the girl of my dreams, and I love her more than everybody in the whole wide world. It's my job as her father to show her what love is, how love feels, and how love interacts and reacts to you. It's my job.
But there are a lot of kids out there that don't have fathers like you.
Absolutely. I'm saying that it's not God's will that they be that way. Never God's will it's God's will that the family units stick together, whether you stay married or not. Me and my daughter's mother aren't together, but we are together in raising the little girl. We raise her as co-parents. We're both involved in her life. She lives with her mother in Augusta, Georgia. But I'm so involved in my daughter's life that if there's an issue at the house, her mother picks up the phone and says, I'm going to call your dad. And she'll say, this is a daddy situation. And I deal with my daughter and dad corrects the situation. That's a daddy situation. She don't want no parts of her daddy that way. But no, I don't think, of course, her mother, anytime, it's male and female that's involved in making babies. So you can't just put it on the daddy. But in this case, the problem for me is that this is a minister. This is a man of God. See, Tina, I might be a heathen, and I am, and I tell you I am a heathen. But what I am not, it's blasphemous to God. What I am is very I know that God protects me from myself, and trust me, I need a lot of protecting from me. And it's how
why are you surprised it's a minister of God? I mean, everybody on this earth makes mistakes and does things that even like Kobe Bryant. I mean, look at him. I mean,
stop. Because Kobe Bryant is not—he's not telling people that he's a messenger for God. Kobe Bryant ain't telling people that he was called to preach, that God told him that this was his calling. When you take on that calling, you take on a responsibility to just be a tad bit different than the rest of us.
I agree with you there.
So that's why I'm surprised, Tina. I'm surprised that a man who's been doing this, I understand how we battle the calling sometimes, but once you take it, once you stand in that gap to do it, then you have to do it knowing the responsibility that you've taken on to be a messenger to God, to be a spokesperson for God, that you have now become a leadership. The same way you want Barack Obama to be the leader, the same way the Russians want Putin to be the leader, the same way anybody in any country wants leadership to be right. And when leadership is wrong, if you know, when Bill Clinton, he didn't even have sex with Monica Lewinsky. He just let him do a little. He just let her do a little knob slobbing, and people wanted him out.
Well, that's why you should be your faith in that. That's how we should be putting our faith in God.
Again, that's why. But you're absolutely right. But when a minister steps up to be a spokesperson, a messenger for God, he has a responsibility to the Lord, to the Word, and to his congregation, to the people that he leads, to walk as close to righteousness as he possibly can. And when he doesn't, his ass need to be toe up. And if I find out about it, I'm tearing his ass up.
When you were a child, they didn't get it right. Your father came to sleep with you every other night. It's kind of fuzzy what the family said. Morbid thoughts of suicide whizz around in your head. When you got married, your husband didn't care. He told you that he loved you, but at night he wasn't there. Your friends are all on a double take. So many times they've lied. You know you can't count on them. So many times you've tried. Your mother didn't want you. Your uncle kissed you wrong. And now you're all alone in this world. Find it hard to get along. Pain and misery. Many people cold. Soon it's right in front of you. You're so vulnerable. A sucker for a sad song. You're a mark for pain. So now you're strung out on that drug that drives them all insane. It's for attention when it should be for love. But you're on your back all the time. Money's all you're thinking of. Nothing's going right in your world. It's all full of stress. No matter what you do, it is wrong. Living in this mess. Hatred and pain. and all the time you're debating. Should you do good? Should you do bad? You're vulnerable. You've been had. Baby. Oh.
That's called vulnerable. I wrote that.
That's it, damn it. That's it. Good morning, Kings, and
Val
a damn morning.
Oh, I
Val
love you, Alex, and you defended me. You love that song by Lynn Tolliver?
Oh, my God. That's my first time hearing that. I think that's a hit. Good morning, Yay. How you doing? Robert, Johnny, Tina, how are you?
Tina's probably she's probably on mute because Jason.
No, you know what? Oh my God! And I'm just over here talking about that's Tommy Daddy. My phone does that sometimes.
Wait a minute. Let me get my thing in here. I wanted to address Yay and Tina, and I, you know me, I be all over the place with some things, and I have a hard time trying to explain some things. And I also got this tooth. I got a bad tooth taken out, and my gum is I'm going through, but. This is what I just want to say for the record. I was a nasty bitch. I was a bitch for Satan. I'm alone. I'm able to hook up. When I look at myself, I see my scars, and I'm trying to talk to Tina with this thing. I'm an ex-addict. I was fucking for attention. I'm the woman at the well. And then it just goes on and on and on. But my purpose today is, and also being at once upon a time being bisexual, and I still have struggles today, Tina, the purpose is to find a nigga out there, or I shouldn't say it like that, is to find a man of cloth that can handle someone as myself, that can explain to me what the hell is going on with me, that it can explain all these generation curses that was going on with me, and to help me and give me the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and get myself together. And since we're talking about pastors today, I'm going to throw out there with this dude that I've been following around for years. He just calls himself Ronald Williams. And he's known in Cleveland for being a talented musician once upon a time. You know, he played for Isaac Hayes, blah, 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 which he don't like to brag on all that. But this cat is a real dude because I told this nigga, I said, look, if you fucking around with me, I'm going to cut your balls off. I'm going to put them on a plate and set them in front of the congregation. Now, of course, the nigga probably wouldn't let me do that. No disrespect to the pastor. But when we going out here and we looking for these men, or women, because women can minister also to help us to get up out of all this mess that we done got ourselves into. That's a hard thing for a man to do, a man or a woman. And it takes a strong, a stable, a man full of integrity, a man full of, you know what, I understands. And then it goes past that. You know what I'm saying? And I found one. And this dude told me, and I'm done after this, this dude, and I believed him. You know, I had a man in my life just recently. He didn't even like me to call him dude. But I said, Pastor Ryan, I ain't got no problem with that. He said, I don't have no money. I don't have nothing. What the hell can I do to help these people that didn't help me? He said, God will make a way for you to do that. And it happened with this J. King stuff. I was just sitting online one day. He said, be still, Val. I said, but I need a damn car. And Lynn is on the line. And I just told Lynn recently, and I can come forth with this testimony. I just talked to Lynn. Lynn, you remember me talking to you last week, and I told you I've been walking.
Yeah.
Okay, well, somebody, I put on my Facebook page last week, somebody done blessed me and getting me a car. Then they done turned around and give me $500, and I'm looking at a motherfucking $100 bill right in front of me that came yesterday. And this is a new $100 bill, because the new $100 bill, which bitch ain't never put her hands on, it's got $100 at the right-hand corner of it. It's got a brown thing. I'm looking at it right now. It's got a blue strip going through it. We're talking about God and men. This is some real stuff, y'all. And the only way I know how to explain, this is some real shit. And you come across this air every day preaching and stuff like that, and saying these prayers and stuff like that. And all you got to do is believe and listen. And this stuff is happening to me. And how long I've been waiting for this stuff to happen to me? And Jay gonna give me a DVD player. He sure is.
I'm done. No, you know what's so funny now, Lynn? I was at this event and I bid for this DVD player and I got it. And I told Valcine, if I give it away, because I can give it to, I was thinking about giving it to my sister Terry, but I said, you know what, Valcine do so much for the J. King Network. We never ask her to
do
nothing.
It's my season, baby. It's my season, and all I can do is just thank him.
I said I'm gonna give Valcine this this DVD player. So Valcine, I was already gonna send it to you. So
yeah, I know. I know, because I'm going to remind you every damn day. But the back to the man, you know, we got to get out there and we got to study and we got to look around and we got to question ourselves, you know. We got to find out for ourselves, is man around us, is they some real motherfuckers? And this is real talk, since we could talk like that. And I had to go through that with Ronald Williams. And I saw him fall. I saw people attack him. You know, he told his story, what happened to him as a child, blah, blah, blah. But I watched people talk about this dude, you know, saying he was gay and all this bullshit. And he divorced his wife, and they saying that a divorce. I mean, when I went to this congregation, I was sitting next to judges and lawyers, you know, and I was all impressed. You know, I'm new. I'm a babe in Christ and stuff like that. But he used to have these private conversations with me. He never disrespected me, you know, and at the time I was a nice-looking young broad, and I know a lot of people will say, well, why is you calling yourself a bitch and a broad? You know, I'm always going to have that side of me, and like he explained to me, just be real, because God can take all that street shit and draw in other street bitches so that they can change their life when you're a woman at the well. And that's what I do today. I try to keep it at 150 with a motherfucker and say, hey, this is the way it is. That nigga ain't going to give you nothing, and they don't owe you nothing. So after I found this dude, and I'm hanging on, and when I die, if I don't have no insurance or whatever the fuck, I know this motherfucker going to bury me, and he going to say something nice. He going to talk about all the accomplishments that I did in my life, which I don't talk about much, which I haven't on the air. But I've done a lot of stuff with my life, and if it wasn't for this man pushing me, and niggas in the streets pushing me to get a GED, you know, I work for a damn Federal Reserve Bank. I've been with musicians. I've been rubbing shoulders. I've been on stages. I traveled all over the world. And if it wasn't for God, the God in these people, the believing in them that they had, okay, bitch, it don't have to be like this. You know, it can be better. And then all you have to do is believe, but you got to check it out for yourself. And I don't understand I understand she was saying that there's some good things and stuff like that, but I ain't all that. My daddy was white, so I ain't got no problem with that white shit. But there are some real men out there, if you just believe. I'm done. Happy Halloween, even though I don't celebrate the day, but everybody, somebody else does. But y'all can send me some turtles.
Oh yeah,
is that right,
Tina? Meet
yes,
my
dear.
Valcine, meet
Tina. It's nice to meet you.
Hi, sweetie. How are you? Welcome to the
I'm
JKN.
Wonderful. Yes, that's what I was saying. There are some wonderful men of God that are just amazing, who are wonderful pastors of churches out there that don't take
advantage.
May
I ask, what's your denomination?
Christian. I used to go to a Mennonite church in
Ohio.
It's a break from the Amish.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. You did speak on that. You know, and that kind of scared me a little bit when that dude went in there and shot up all them babies in that school. Remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah, that was kind of sad. That's kind of scary. But I see the Amish all around. My cousin just bought a house and got some Amish people building and stuff. You know, I like that chicken they got.
Now, they have a wonderful way of doing a lot of community for their own sect. They all put money together every Sunday for their own insurance. So if anybody in the church gets hurt, all this money is like an emergency fund goes to the person who got hurt. So that's wonderful that they do.
That's a community to me. When you
community. If somebody has a house fire, they all go over there and fix up their house in a period of a day. I mean, you know, it's like barn building. That's how I'm not barn building, excuse me. So they really do a lot of community things. So they help each other.
And Lynn in the chat room talking about thanks, Valcine. I mean, you guys have done so much for me to keep me focused, because y'all know I can get crazy as a Bessie bug, and they just drill me right on back in.
I was responding to your comment. You said great song, and I'm saying thanks.
But I do know what Jay said about some of the churches I attend down here in mega church.
The majority.
It is a mega church.
Yeah, not some of the churches.
Majority.
The majority.
Okay, well, majority. And this mega church,
fraction.
my kids want to go to this school. This private school for this mega church is $4,000 a year per person.
What that mean? You got to break that down in my brain.
That's
what
a lot
that
of money. That's a lot of money.
$300 a month.
So
for what? I'm lost.
To go to school.
Yes, at the private school at this church.
Per. $300 a month per.
No, yeah,
per,
$350.
Per child.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, I wish my daughter's school was that cheap.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, private schools are expensive. Private schools are
yes,
really expensive.
Private.
But, you know, and you have to put them in those kind of schools if you want them to get, especially, and, you know, and I know that we can't always afford. When I say we, I'm talking about in the black community. We can't always afford those kind of schools. That's why it's imperative that we make a fortified community, that we make a strong community, that we start becoming responsible for the community, to the community, and building communities. Because if we don't, the educational gap is going to get further and further, like it is right now. My daughter goes to a private school it's the high end of the curriculum. She's going to be able to leave this school, this system, and Ivy League schools are already looking at her. She's a great artist. She paints and everything. So, and you know, she's 10 years old. Let me see. Alvin Harrison wrote this to us. Jay, I want to thank you for getting me started on this project. As I got more into it, I started to research even more the various problems I wrote about in the song. He did the song Rough Times in America, which we're going to play. He said, I have, with the Facebook page, started to post information, documentaries, and in general quotes, et cetera, to spur people to think about change. As I get older and start to think about our lives and what I've done to help, sometimes I make excuses that I can do nothing. The problems are just too big. I've changed my mind, and I feel that maybe I can do something to help make a change. Even if it's something as small as writing a song and maintaining a Facebook page, I was serious when I said you missed your calling as a motivational speaker.
Thank you.
Alvin Harris and Rough Times in America. I like that song, man. I think I got a little country in me. That's that redneck and knives.
Redneck and knives.
You think that has a Charlie Pride feel to it?
A little pride on it. Rough times in America, land of the free, home of the brave. Damn, you all have seen the crap out of that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Club Nouveau-ish.
Yeah, and I would really, I love the drums. I love what he's doing. I would just make it really nice and clean and concise, and that bass would just be thick. But the strings would be so beautiful. I could hear all the beauty in the strings, and then the warmth of the acoustic piano, the grand piano. I could hear Larry Dunn on there, just beautiful.
Speaking of bass, I just heard the bass of That Ain't Love 2 days ago. Goodness gracious.
How did you hear it?
Because when you're on Skype, you hear a rich sound. You hear a rich sound on Skype. When you ought to try Skype, but you know, when you're on and you hear the music, but you already heard it because you've been in the studio. But I'm saying when you're playing songs and you're listening on a Snipe headphone, a Skype, right. I mean, yeah, Wesley Snipe headphone, a Skype
nice.
Headphone.
Nice.
Yeah, Skype. You know, you hear a full body of the song. It's not really as clear as it is if you had a sound system, but it's better than the phone. So that bass is dragging, buddy. That bass, I said, this is what it sounds like when you're, like, next door and somebody's playing a song and all you hear is the bass line. Yeah! Kicking out that bass, Daddy.
Yeah, I can't wait for the rest of the record, you know. Jamie Foster Brown wants us to come and perform at her event. I got to talk to Angela Ellerby today and just get the details.
You're not going to be sleepy when you're on stage, are you? You're not going to be sleepy because you just yarned on the show. You do like this. We're going to be welcome.
There's no way with that up-tempo music they got, Ryan.
I asked her if she received payment yet, and she said no one has contacted her. Could you correct and get payment to her ASAP? Thank you. Smiley face, Jay. King. Boom. Okay. See, I do work here, Robert. I do boom, boom. Robert, so whenever you tell me that you can't make it because of something?
Yes, King Jay.
It takes my high.
Well, I'm going to stop taking your high, King Jay.
What are you going to start doing with it?
I'm going to pull my panties down.
Wow, Robert, you stay away from me with that nasty, filthy, disgusting
heterosexual male over there. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, heterosexual male. I'm going to tell you, you pull your panties down me, you're going to get a foot full of something.
What if after you wear panties for such a long time, you put your panties down and there's a vagina there? What would you do?
I would scream.
for joy.
This is a song about love.
Yeah.
But it's not a good love. It's not a real love. And if your love sounds like this, then that ain't love.
When I work, putting hard days, that's how I keep these bills paid. At my crib, things go my way. Don't give a damn about what your girlfriend say. When I come home, ain't no way in. Should have my dinner on my plate in. Clear the table when my meal is done. And break me up, girl, when I pull on some.
Girlfriend, don't let them watch you like that.
That ain't love.
You pay your own bills, got your own car, got your own grip, you got it like that.
That ain't love.
He can cook and serve his own damn meal. And if you don't, some other trick will. Walk away when you can, girlfriend. Better yet, you better run.
In my house, that's how it's gotta be. Knew I was thugging when you met me. So you know that I don't play around.
Well, I know that.
Girl, don't make me put my Mac hand down.
You better step back.
If you want me to be real with you,
yeah, real.
You better do the things I tell you to. So don't be tripping, just respect
you
me.
Gotta, I'm
'cause in my house, that's how it's gotta be.
Girlfriend.
Listen here, ain't no talk back. Ain't got no time for no tit for tat. Girl, you know where your place is at. So you better recognize that. See, I'm a player from the old school. And in my house, it's just the same old rule. So don't be tripping, just respect me. 'Cause in my house, that's how it's got to be. You love me, baby. I've been good to you.
I still hear the reason for your tears. Why you let him treat you so
don't
bad?
Don't let nobody
play
you for the fool.
Think about leaving, think of leaving.
Don't let him
pretend that the same.
'Cause then you're from love.
That Ain't Love by Club Nouveau from the upcoming Consciousness album, which is coming in 2014, or February 2014. The single's going to be out in a little while, you guys. And, you know, we started that record right here on the J. King Network. Same way we started with the Karen White record. When she first came out, we played it right here and made it happen from here. And so we expect the same thing to happen.
This is important to me to tell you, because a lot, and I mean a lot of people, are hung up on what people think about them, when reality says, regardless of how you try to look at it, it's what you think of yourself. Here's a great example. Two great men, Martin Luther and Kennedy, are no longer here, but the world is still moving. Not taken away from their great contributions, but there is a great and good that is still here, in a world that is still spinning. If their absence hasn't stopped the world, why should you not feel good about yourself? Don't let evil snatch your joy of living. Distance yourself from negative. Circumference yourself with good. And there is still a lot of good to be had. God is the reason you are hearing this right now. Amen.
Amen. Great prayer.
Amen.
Hey, you guys, don't forget to tune in to the Dr. Princess True Purpose Show, which is coming up next right here on the J. King Network from for an hour right after Kings in the Morning. She'll be on. And then tonight she has her show. I believe she's on from 5. Is it from 5 to 6:30? Is it, Lynn?
Yes. Yes.
5 to 6:30. So you guys get a double dose of Dr. Princess. I know it's like
a double dose of the doctor.
A double dose of the doctor. And then Eric McAllister, It's All About the Music, Damn It, comes on right after that.
A banner. A banner show.
It's a banner show. It's a banner show. It's a banner show. It's a show of banners.
Hello, everyone. Are you going to introduce me?
What?
I just figured you would introduce me and say hello. You unmuted me. Hello. Hi, Jay.
Well, obviously you weren't paying attention when we said that you're getting a double dose of the doctor.
I did. I heard that, and I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm on a triple dose.
Would you let's just stop. Stop. This is not good. Listen, I've got Dwayne Parham, he's a legendary jazz person here in the Motor City. Dwayne Parham introduced me to Mamie Smith. Now, I know some of you are saying Mamie Smith is dead. Okay, the other Mamie Smith is dead. But there's another Mamie Smith.
No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying who is Mamie Smith? And William Dell said he would rather lose a nut than have a double dose of the doctor.
that's called WDUA, right?
Hey, who is Mamie Smith? My grandmother's name was Mamie Smith.
Isn't that something? Must have been a lot of Mamie Smiths.
What part of the South is she from, Lion? Because my grandmother's
last name was Smith. She lived in Detroit.
No, but prior to that, what part of the South did your family come from on the Smith side?
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know what part. Go
he's
ahead,
Jay.
This one here, she's an author.
Listen, Doc, let me explain something to you. You take a long time to get to what you're going to say, when you should just get to what you're going to say and then take a long time. So can you get to what you're going to say? Is Mamie Smith going to be your guest today?
Yes, she is.
Okay. And what does Mamie Smith do?
Mamie Smith, she is an author and also a singer. And I was introduced to her by Dwayne Parham. He's a legendary jazz artist.
Now you're overdoing it. So you do that on your show. What you do here is you make the announcement. Okay.
Okay.
And you say Mamie Smith is going to be on my show tonight. It's going to be a great show. Tune in. This is who Mamie Smith is. It's bada bing, bada bang. It's bada bing, bada bang. But you go bada bing, bada bing, bada boom, bada boom, bada boom, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, bada boom, bada bing, bada bang, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, bada bing, bada bing, bada boom, bada boom, bada bing, bada bing, bada bing, bada boom.
Change your name to Dr. Bada Bada Boom.
Okay, guys. Okay, I apologize, but listen, it's going to be an awesome interview. I want you guys to tune in, please. Show some support and love. And her story is phenomenal.
I promise you, I'm going to tune in. But if you start to
thank
get...
Thank you.
But this is what I want you to do.
Yes.
Okay? I want you to be watching your text messages so that I can coach you, because you need some coaching. Because that last interview you did, I wanted to tell you, between you and him, y'all was having word battles.
We had a good interview. You talking about with Mr. With the prison doctor?
Whoever he was that talked a lot like you. Y'all went to talking town. And I'm gonna tell you what happened.
He was
y'all
talking
went to talk
because
town.
I wanted him to talk.
Yeah, y'all went to talking town and we tuned out.
Yeah. Why'd you say that, Dr. Princess Odelia? Why'd you do like this? Jay said, you were talking, and she was talking, and you were talking. Yeah. Then you said, yeah. Yeah.
because listen, we were talking together. It's all good. I thought it was a phenomenal interview. And
yeah, I know you did.
We were talking about Myron Fontaine. He's referring to Myron Fontaine. Eli Fontaine saw it. He had a great and powerful story. He talked about his life and then even now. And it was absolutely awesome, I thought.
You thought it was. We didn't. Hey, before we get out of here, I do want to make this report, you guys, because this is a serious report that I think we should all hear, and then we're going to get out of here. So, Dr. Prince.
Jay King's News Reel.
New York City DJ Damon Herman arrested for trying to have sex with 7-year-old.
Oh, no.
Dave Herman's lawyer says he was not interested in the young girl. He was interested in the mom. Everyone in the business was shocked when All Access reported longtime New York City DJ David Herman had been arrested in the Virgin Islands for soliciting with a minor. Federal prosecutors allege that Herman, 77 years old, attempted to transport a 7-year-old girl from New Jersey to the Virgin Islands to have sex with her. Now, Herman's lawyers claim he was actually trying to hook up with the attractive 36-year-old woman he thought he met on a raunchy website and not her 7-year-old daughter, as federal authorities contend. Mark Agnifilio said an entrapment defense might be appropriate once all the chats are reviewed in context, and not just the salacious ones revealed in the federal complaint that had Herman promising not to hurt the girl, even though he might have to be forceful with her, and that and stating that age 7 is the perfect time to start her being loved that way. He's really laden with the gravity of the charge. The charge is a horrific charge. What he said was, "I never intended to do anything with the child. I was interested in the woman. The woman seemed interested in me." A report found that Herman joined the website motherless.com using the handle David121482 in September 2011. He was 75 at the time. Herman's profile picture is of a much younger man, and his profile describes himself as a single father of a teenage girl. Wife died when she was 5, so just the two of us ever since, his profile reads. Interested in other incest families, mothers who are involved with their children in all extreme or unusual family relationships. His lawyer explained Herman's profile was a fabrication and absolutely imagined second life. I hope his ass go to jail. They do this stuff, and then they get busted, Lynn, and then they want to say, "That wasn't me. That wasn't me." This show, this right here, story, we come back on Monday, Lynn. Make sure we
You know
talk
something,
about
Jay?
This.
Yeah, when I was 7, I didn't like 7-year-olds. I like. What the fuck is going on with this guy?
I don't know, but we're going to talk about it. Please, Lynn, make sure we talk about this
Monday.
Okay,
Monday.
You guys.
My
name is Jay King with Lynn Tolliver, Robert Redwine, and Johnny Graham Cracker Davis telling you to get busy living because you're going to have enough time dying. Get ready for Dr. Princess. She about to talk your ears off.
Morning, your favorite Block Talk Radio show. Kings in the morning, your favorite Block Talk. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning.
Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. The flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond Fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself.
Welcome to the True Purpose Development Show with your host, Dr. Princess Odelia, the Queen of Inspiration.
Hey, hey, hey. Dun, 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 dun. I want to welcome you all to the True Purpose Development Show. I'm your host, Dr. Princess Odelia. And yes, each week, as the nonprofit organization Bountiful Opportunities Group does sponsor this wonderful segment of the True Purpose Development Show, we are the home of the global world peace, True Purpose Movement. We are here each week to inspire, empower, and educate, and also entertain you. This week, we have a phenomenal guest, Miss Mamie Smith. Mamie Smith is the author of The Unfolding of a Rose. It's a stirring account of a mother's love, devotion of her faith, and survival of the unimaginable, losing her daughter, Meta, to breast cancer. Mamie Smith's narration beautifully explores the emotional territories of the heart put to the ultimate test and her astounding courage to accept God's plan. Meta was always a curious and beautiful girl, excelling in school and marrying the man of her dreams. Meta had two children and discovered a passion for entrepreneurial work by developing her own business. Meta was turned upside down when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, you understand this is breast cancer, this is Cancer Awareness Month as well, and also as well domestic violence. Mamie began a search for the why of what happened and helped her daughter with her battle with cancer. And we have a phenomenal, phenomenal show ahead of us today as we will talk with Mamie and she will share her story. How do you know, how many of you know that the story is what, there's power in the story that we all have. And your mess up and or tragedy is just your product for prosperity. It is your product for transformation. It's what you need to hold on to, not to look at and say, oh my God, I can't believe I've been through that, but to look at that and say, how beautiful was that experience because it has made me who I am today. So I want you to sit tight, hang tight, call all your neighbors, your friends, and even your enemies. You know they need some of this. Tell them that I'm on live. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this song. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Odelia.
Woo, I tell you, I love that song. I can't get enough of it. I don't know about the rest of you. Well, you are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show, and yes, I am your host, Dr. Princess Odelia. I'm very excited today because we have a wonderful and phenomenal guest, Mamie Smith. You may not have heard of Mamie Smith, but I want to introduce you to Mamie Smith. Mamie Smith is one who has definitely gone through life's triumph, and she got it. She lost her daughter to cancer, and it's written that these women, bound by love and an enduring faith, gained a greater understanding of the true meaning of a life, our essence of spiritual being. I'm so excited to interview her because I want to hear this. As Mamie recounts, she states that she sees Meta, her daughter, as planted by divine mind, nurtured by spirit, and yielding the fruits of love. She's not angry at the death, but she's embraced it. I want to introduce you, my phenomenal guest today, Mamie Smith, a writer, retired vocal music teacher, and businesswoman. Dr. Smith is currently writing her second book, and she does live in Michigan. Another great from Michigan. Let's welcome Dr. Mamie Smith to the True Purpose Development Show. How are you today?
Fine. How are you? And thank you so much for inviting me. I would just like to say in English, hello to your audience, and in German, Guten Tag.
Oh, thank you. I love that. I have a dear connection to Germany. Absolutely awesome. How are you today?
I am delighted and I am fine. Absolutely great. And what I'd like to do is just give you a little bit more information about myself. And I grew up in a very, very small town in the heartland of Mississippi, and this little town is called Kosciuszko, and my father owned a large farm, and this was a very hard life, but a life that instilled character, a strong work ethic, and strong moral values. And after graduating from high school, I went to Jackson State College, it was called then. It is now a university. And I did 3 years and then married a military man and traveled the world. And one of those places that I lived for 3 years was Germany. That's how I got a little bit command of the language. What I did after graduating and marrying this military man, I had three children, And 3 children later, when he was sent to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I decided to go back and get my degree. And so I received a Bachelor's of Science degree in vocal music education, with certification for teaching as well as performance. And then 1 year later, he was sent to Vietnam. So the children and I came back to Michigan, and I attended Wayne State University, received a master's degree in vocal music education. A few years later, a specialist
wonderful
in general
school, by the way. Yes,
oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
And then a specialist, and then a doctorate in general administration. I've written 3 books, two books and 3 e-books. And the first one, of course, we will talk about today is The Unfolding of a Rose. And the second one is called Medicine, A Daily Dose of Spirituality. And I have 3 e-books out there. I have a blog that's called Open Thought. And I am number 1 in Google out of about 2 billion people with that same entity, Open Thought. So I kind of think that's kind of an accomplishment to be number 1. And I've been there most of the
that's
year.
That's awesome. You said in what category? You said for?
Open, O-P-E-N. T-H-O-U-G-H-T, Open Thought, and that is the name of my blog, and it's the website is smithmamie.com.
Awesome.
And what made me write in the spiritual, in the genre of spirituality, and why do I think I have some authority to write in that genre? Well, many years ago, I spent 2 weeks learning the New and the Old Testaments of the Bible, and another book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mirabeka Eddy. And I delved into the Old and the New Testament. And each day for 40 years, I read those testaments and really dig into it, because that's how I live, by the laws that I get out of both of those books. And then the third thing that gives me a reason to write in the genre of spirituality is I served as a first reader for the Rochester Hills Christian Science Church for 3 years. And if your audience out there does not know what that means, is a first reader is almost like a minister. Christian Science people don't have ministers. They have readers. And so the lesson on Sunday is prepared by the Mother Church in Boston, but the Wednesday evening service is prepared by the first reader, along with the scriptures and the hymns and all of that. So you use concordances, you use Bible dictionaries, you go into the history of the Bible, and you do all of these things that give you insight into the difference between religion and spirituality, because I do make a difference between those two. So I do think that I can write in there and can talk about it.
And, you know, and I think that is absolutely awesome. You know what, I would like to also go a little deeper in. I want to understand, daughter.
Okay.
You have a very powerful story, and here on the True Purpose Development Show, one thing that I focus on is story, the power of story. And
yes,
the power of story is very, 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 very key. I want to hear your story. How did it come to you?
Okay. Well, why did I write The Unfolding of a Rose? Well, I didn't want to write that book, but
yes.
I have.
What caused you to come into, like, how did you feel? I want to know specifically when your daughter, Mati, is it Mata? Is that how you
Mita.
Say it?
Mita.
Mita.
Mm-hmm.
When she came to you and told you first, "Mommy, I have cancer."
It was like a vase. And I talk about this in the book. It was like a vase had closed over my heart and was squeezing the life out of me. She had known for 2 years, but I did not know. And when I read excerpts from the book, I will cover this, and if I have time to do that. But when she came to me, I was astounded, because I had no idea that she had anything wrong with her. She was a beautiful person, not only on the outside, but on the inside. And so what I did was I wrapped my arms around her, and I said, "Honey, Just because the doctors say you have cancer, God has not given that verdict. So we don't have to accept that. And from that day on, I began to work metaphysically for her healing. And the last 6 months of her life, she came to live with her father and me because we were kind of taking care of her. She was never destitute. She was never to the point where she was an invalid. and she walked the day that she passed away. So to answer your question, it was pain that no one wants to experience, to ever come to grips with. Because
just to have to
so,
watch your daughter in her passing.
I did watch her. Yes, she passed away in my arms. And what I was dealing with at that time was her healing. So I was sure that she would be healed. So when she passed away, I was still mentally attuned to the blessings that God gives. And it was not nature.
Yeah, that is a healing. That is a healing. That's a wonderful thing. Mm-hmm.
It is a healing.
But yeah,
what
absolutely.
Happened? What happened after that was that when I couldn't see her smile, when I couldn't hear her stories, when I remembered when she came into the world, I forgot about all of that and started
yes.
focusing on grief and suffering. And so,
yes.
so it kind of took hold of me, and I had a deep-seated pain and grief. And when I heard the voice of God speak to me and say, you should write your daughter's story down, I ignored him because I didn't want to do it. I knew that I would uncover all of those carefully placed mental blankets that I had placed over the pain. And that's one of the things that I want to say to your audience. I was at a book presentation last weekend, and I talked to many people as they came to my up to me. And one said, you know, I can't talk about it now because I am a survivor of cancer. But I understood that perfectly. But when you take that attitude, you are not allowing God to get in there and heal what you need healing. And that's the pain, that's the suffering, that's the hurt. That needs to be uncovered, and you uncover it with the Word of God. And that's how you do it. And until it is lying there openly, blatantly, you are not going to begin the stages of healing. But it does hurt. It does hurt the human
Absolutely.
Spirit. Mm-hmm.
But growth and development hurts, Mamie. Dr. Smith, growth and development hurts. It's the yin and the yang and the process of elevation, the process of change. It hurts. There's a hurting sense to it. So now your daughter, she passed on. I've actually lost a mother-in-law to cancer.
Okay.
And it was a very slow process. It was very painful. And I understand how that is. Now you've overcome that, but out of that was birthed this story.
Yes. The story is
a transformation in you.
Yes.
What
yes.
would you say as a result of something that was so trying? What would
well,
you
first,
say was the greatest accomplishment that derived from that experience for you?
Well, when I finally started listening to God and decided to write the story down, I asked God the same question that Jesus did, and that was, why have you forsaken me?
Absolutely.
And I kept asking that question, and every time I asked that question, the answer was, whom the Lord loveth, he chastened us. Well, I didn't want to listen to that. First of all, I didn't think I needed chastening, and I didn't know what it meant.
Right.
So I was like, going back, why have you forsaken me? Over and over and over.
Absolutely.
And so finally, a young lady came into the store because my daughter and I were in business, and when she passed away, we had the store in the CompuWear complex downtown Detroit. And so a
oh,
lady
wow.
came into
the CompuWear. Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's big time.
So this lady came into the store who knew my daughter, and she said God had revealed to her that my daughter's story needed to be written down. So I stopped a tiny bit listening to what God was saying to me. And very clearly, when I finally pulled away the crud and wiped it away, I heard a mental voice that said, you are focusing on death. You must focus on life. And so I was like, okay. So now I had a command. I believe that life, in capital L, is a synonym for God. So I wasn't
absolutely
too, you know, I wasn't too awry as to what I was being told, but I didn't really know what I was being asked to do. So as I began to question and listen, I began to go to the Bible and look up every single solitary citation on life and read it and study it. And I did the same thing with Science and Health, the book I mentioned early. And as I began to do that, my thought began to uplift and unfold. And then one day, this was a two-year process. This was a I'm a slow learner. And so,
you were going through something very trying, and that's awesome. You were going through a developmental stage, which is awesome. Go ahead.
So when I finally got this message, this is what God defined life to me as. Now, he may not define it to your audience as this, because, you see, I believe God speaks to each one of us where we are. And they may not
absolutely
have had the hang-ups that I had. You know what I'm saying? And so,
that's right.
So I was focused on guilt. Why did my daughter die? No parent should have to bury a child. That's where I was, you know. And so when the voice said, here is the definition of life for you that no other book and no other person knows but me, and that is this. Life is the divine activity of thought. And I'm going to say that again so that you can hear your audience.
Yes,
life,
I want to hear that again.
Life,
I'm telling you,
is the divine activity of thought, not your physical body. You see, if you focus on...
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay, Dr. Smith, listen here, honey. Let me tell you.
Okay.
Life is the design activity.
Divine
activity of thought. I just wrote on my Facebook the other day.
Okay.
I'm serious. That I talked to them about the thought.
Good.
Our thinking is the most powerful prayer.
Yes.
It is the most powerful activity of our essence. I mean, that's what we are. So a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yes.
But do we really understand what that means? That means that the words that we say, the things that we do, are literally external and are just confirmation of what
yes
we thought, because what we
yes
thought is more powerful than all of that.
Absolutely. You are absolutely.
My God. And I love what you say, how you describe that. You said thought, wow. It's the most, you said divine activity
of thought. And that is that key in that sentence is divine. Because people run around and say, you know, not human thought. You've got to elevate that thought. You've got to connect. There's that oneness with God that you have to get to. And I call that oneness the Christ. When the Christ comes into your consciousness and said, love
absolutely
your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
And guess what? Not only the Christ, but also you've got the Christ. And, yes, you've got the Buddha, the Enlightenment. It's
all of that. Yes.
It's all of that, because they all came with that same understanding, had to go through that same journey to the revelation of truth of thought.
Yes.
And they all came with that message, but yet we interpreted it differently and put another spin on it that was contrary in most cases to what they actually were intended for us to get from. But go ahead. This is so awesome.
I agree with you totally. And what I say to people when I'm talking, because I am an inspirational speaker also, and so what I say to people when I'm talking, I say, you know, you may call him light. You may call him energy. You may call him Allah. You may call him whatever you call him. I call him God. And so you may call him supreme being. To me, that the name is not the key. The key is that connection that you have with that higher level of thought. That is the connection. That's the key. And when you establish that, yes, you gotta leave the mental, human mental element of thinking and rise to the divine. And when you do that, that's how healing takes place. And I can say to your audience, I don't speak from just theory. I speak from experience because I have had 40 years of healing everything from what I thought was breast cancer, lumps in my breast. And so I've had all the way from colds to that, financial, emotional, educational, relationship problems. I have had these kinds of healings, though many of those are expressed in The Unfolding of a Rose. And totally a lot of them in my second book, Medicine, A Daily Dose of Spirituality. Because so I don't speak from just theory. I speak from actually demonstration, actually having lived it. So that is why I was so disappointed when my daughter passed away, because I thought she would be healed metaphysically. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm a metaphysician, so you know I understand. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but what I gain from that, and I've learned now, is that every person's life is like a rose. It unfolds day by day. And the unfolding of a rose is my daughter's and my gift to the world, because it shows, it tells what we experienced, how we experienced. Many, many experiences are there, written out very clearly. I am brutally honest in this book. That's one of the things that people say to me when they read it. It's so helpful because you actually get down to the human elements of thought, and you tell it like it is, because that's how I experienced it. And so when I understood, and I tell you step by step what the divine activity of thought means. I don't leave you hanging, meaning in the book. I tell you step by step how I arrived at it and what it really means. And so when I got that understanding, I was healed. And here is the another benefit of metaphysical healing, as you very well know as a metaphysician, that not only do you heal the body or the hate or the anger or whatever you're going through, you heal, you become a better person inwardly. That
Absolutely.
Is part of the healing. You don't just heal
Absolutely.
The sore finger or the broken leg or the cancer. And I, you know, you don't just heal that. You heal the inner part of that person. The essence of your being is what is healed too. And so, and you become, I say you reach another plateau of thinking, of higher levels of thought. That's how I say it. But, you know, it's just when the person grasped that. When my husband passed away 5 or 6 years later, because I understood what life is, a better understanding of what life is, I didn't grieve.
Yeah.
See, I had been healed.
Isn't that something? Because once you realize the essence even of death, that death is actually beautiful, that when they cross over, immediately there's a sense of arrival, because they realize that this, in fact, here on earth was the dream.
Mm-hmm,
we are embodying ourselves in a shell that turns to dirt, like literally it turns to dirt, okay? So, I mean, what is the truth and what holds dear forever is the spirit that lives forever. So when this body, this shell dissipates, there is the spirit that remains, period.
Yes.
So once you understand death, death is easier to deal with, actually. And it's not that you don't have any remorse, or it's not that you don't have any senses, none of that. Yeah, you missed them in the physical, but you're so understanding of the fact that now they experience life in the spirit world in such a way that you are now even more connected with them if you choose to. Now,
absolutely.
You can also choose to not be connected with them.
Yes.
But
once they know how connected you are with them also, because they will present themselves. I've had that happen all the time. I'm telling you, I had a friend that died last year. Uh-huh. And I have people that are, it's so funny, because when people hear this, they think, oh, they've got to be crazy. And so people kind of like drop off the line. They're like, oh, my God, this is insane. Don't panic. You don't have to. Don't turn off the radio. It's just life has more to offer to us than what we have been taught, okay? Okay, yeah. So it's all good. So anyway, I'm going to tell you, I had a friend that died.
Okay.
About a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I still feel her presence today. It's amazing. And, oh, my God, she's done. She's dropped so many dimes in so many places. It's amazing. I think I'm on TV because of her. I mm-hmm. mean, it's just amazing. But this woman, she came to me. I felt her presence. And it's, again, once we allow them to real, when we let them know that, when they know that we know,
uh-huh.
they will show themselves, okay,
uh-huh.
in different ways, whether it uh-huh. be in dreams, whether it uh-huh. be in presence. And a lot of times people feel the presence, but then they'll say, oh, no, I don't feel the presence. No, you felt exactly what you felt.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They were
uh-huh.
there, okay?
Uh-huh.
You're not
uh-huh.
crazy. You're not off or anything.
Uh-huh.
They
uh-huh.
were present in that space. Because they are able to be, because they are then all present, all knowing, and they are back to the spirit self, which is that, which is all things.
Absolutely.
And go ahead. You go ahead. This is amazing.
No,
go
I'm
ahead.
Just going to agree with you and say, when I want to connect with my daughter, because I believe she, as you pointed out very clearly, God is all presence and all power and all knowledge.
Absolutely.
So I believe she is there in that presence, in
yes.
that knowledge. And so if I want to get there and be with her, I have to go there too.
You can. That's,
and
that's
you can
right.
go there. You can go there.
Absolutely.
You can mentally get your thinking there, and you can feel the presence of God and feel her presence because she is a child of God. And so
and
you are
there
in
and
that
she's
family.
She's right there in that ambiance. Yes.
That's right. Yes.
She's there in
yes.
that ambiance. She,
yes.
That is what happens. They die and go back to self. Absolutely. And self is the spirit. So that's what they go back. It's like thinking of a walnut. A walnut
mm-hmm.
is a walnut. Someone
mm-hmm,
could come
mm-hmm.
up to somebody and say, hey, have you had a walnut before? And this person,
mm-hmm.
unbeknownst to them, could think that they've embraced the walnut when all they've done is sucked on the shell of the walnut.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, no, you haven't really had the walnut. Did you crack the shell?
Mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
I'll crack the shell and I'll have the walnut,
mm-hmm.
really have the nut. But...
Mm-hmm.
We live our life like that, unfortunately, and I say we because we are all one in spirit, I say that. We live our life like that, and it's like we have to go beyond
yes.
this flesh,
yes.
beyond the human, what you see, the male, the female, beyond
mm.
all that. There is the essence of you, which is spirit, embodied in that, and to denounce that is to patronize the God that people say that they serve. And so we have to really... Annie it up.
Yes,
I'm glad that
yes.
you did, Dr. Smith, because this is wonderful. You know how many people, especially now, that need your book because so many people are dealing with cancer. Cancer
yes.
is like plague. It's like a virus, like you have a
yes.
cold virus every season.
Yes.
And people don't know how to deal with death. When they don't understand death, it's
mm-hmm.
a very scary thing. It's
mm-hmm.
a very sad thing that sometimes people die themselves just by not getting over it.
You're absolutely right. I'm just going to give your audience one hymn that was so important to me as I struggled, and I call the chapter in the book 2 Years of Struggling. And as I struggled with this, this first verse is one that I lived with on a daily, sometimes hourly basis. And it goes like this, and this is in the book too. I'm reading from the book. Trust the eternal when the shadows gather, when joys of daylight seem so like a dream. God the unchanging pities like a father. Trust on and wait. The day star yet will gleam. And what that did for me, and I'm reading from the book, I have come to believe that if we accept that life is in the body, the reward or wages for that belief is death. Death occurs only if you have a mistaken view of life. True life is the knowledge and understanding of God. And all that theme permeates my book. First of the book is, it's biographical. It tells, our living as a military people, da-da-da-da-da. But it walks you up to her death. And then you get the last three or four chapters where I really, really get metaphysical and take the reader with me as I walk along, as I struggle, as I cry, as I grieve. They do that, but then they come out with joy and peace and love and harmony because they are on the journey mentally with me in the book.
Absolutely.
So hopefully, if they decide to get the book, that you email me. People email me. People write on my blog and say, I thank you so much for doing this. You had to write this book. You had to write this book, not only for you, but for the world, because it is the revelation that God gave me. There are many revelations out there. I'm not the only one. Of course, we all have the capacity to have revelation, inspiration, and regeneration. I believe that. But some of us work at it more so than others. But to me, grasping the true meaning of life has helped me, and the essence of man. I see man is made in the image and likeness of God. I really literally believe the first chapter of Genesis 26:27. That is, to me, who man is, made in the image. An image is a likeness of something. When you stand before the mirror, you see Jimmy Jones, Mary Smith. You see that person. If that person raises his arm or her arm, that image does the same. Well, now let's take God and let God be the mirror, and you are the person standing in front of the mirror. Your image is of him. If God is love, then you are an expression of love. If God is life, you express life. You see, and that's what people don't get. We have the capacity.
Yes.
If we have that within us, every one of us. We just have to unfold, have it unfolded and developed and used. And
absolutely.
I can see that you do that.
Wow.
We have a testimonial meetings, and where we stand up and share a healing that we have had. And over the 40 years of my life, I have had numerous of healings. And then what you do, not only do you say, oh, I had a cold and I healed it, 4 days later I didn't have it anymore. Well, that's fine. That's the physical aspect of it. And I am truly grateful for that, because one of my healing was cold. That was one of my first healings. But the thing is, you share with them what made you overcome it. What was it that God said to you that made you see something differently that a few minutes later you didn't have a cold? You see
that's
what I'm
right.
saying?
Right.
And so that is what you share. That is what that's the testimony that you give to people. And that's what's in The Unfolding of a Rose. I share testimonies in that book that show here's how I did it. It's not by me. It's the grace of God that I did this.
Now you've got 8 reviews on Amazon. It's really good. It says, let me share some of these. It says,
okay, all right.
By Regina C. Flucker.
Okay.
From Detroit. The Unfolding of a Rose was a guide for me to see how to handle everyday challenges with just an understanding of God and a realization that changes in life comes with a change in one's thinking. With me being in my 20s, she was 20 in her 20s, Mm-hmm. Like most 20-somethings, mm-hmm. I have been battling with where life was taking me and what path I was meant. While reading this book, I discovered that even with challenges in life, you must remain optimistic at all times. And in those times of question, turn to God for guidance, and he will direct you. I recommend this book to everyone, from the college student battling with school to the parent that has lost a child, or even the child that has lost a parent, and everyone in between. With my loss of a parent, it was definitely a guide for me to finally find some closure in my life. Thanks, Dr. Smith, and keep writing. Isn't that amazing?
Thank you. Isn't that, yes.
Isn't that amazing? That is so awesome.
We're gonna
take a very, very brief break, because we got to do one break before we leave here, and then we're gonna come back, and I want to get where people can find you, and then tonight I want everybody to tune in tonight, because we're gonna be right here simulcasting on the J. King Network, and we're also going to be on True Purpose Radio tonight, truepurposeradio.com. You can call 718-766-4227 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. At the moment, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Smith telling us where we can find her, stay connected with her. This is tremendously awesome. We'll be right back.
Are you fit for the journey to true purpose? Well, knowing is more than half the battle. If you're looking for someone that can help you understand, develop, and bring to fruition your life's true purpose, you need to contact Dr. Princess Audelia, as she has traveled the world consulting and coaching people of all ages with great success. Dr. Princess Audelia, licensed practitioner and author of the book series Pregnant in the Spirit, is here to coach you so that you may live a totally happy and fulfilled life regardless of your circumstances. The choice is yours. Call today, 877-888-7979. Again, 877-888-7979 for your free consultation and opportunity to have the best life coach in the world.
Hey, you guys, this is Dawn Robinson from En Vogue and Lucy Pearl, and I'm so happy and so proud to be a part of the World Peace True Purpose Movement. It's really something that the world needs right now, because there's so many people that are downtrodden, and they don't believe in themselves anymore. They don't believe in government. They don't believe in the church. They don't believe in anything out there, and they need to look to themselves. And so what you guys are doing with this movement is so special, because it's very strong. It's very supportive of people, and it just reminds them of how strong they really are. And yes, I can do this. And yes, I can persevere. And the short time that we have on this planet, I can do something great with my life. And I'll be okay. You know, it's like a voice of reason out there that just says to them that everything's going to be all right. So I really am proud to be a part of this.
Welcome to the Moment of Inspiration. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia. Listen, life throws you a ton of balls, but you must decide which ones you'll catch. There are many of you that are holding on to things that you should let go. Not only such tangible things like relationships, cars, houses, and jobs, but also the intangible things in your life, like negativity, depression, hurt, adverse perspective, your thinking, poverty, and such. Life gives us choices. The choice to hold or release, change or not. I invite you today to make a choice to hold or grab hold of the ball of happiness, openness, joy, prosperity, positive thinking, and the like. The other ones, well, I suggest that you drop them like a hot potato. Let's start right now. Simply, I want you to declare, I am happy, and I denounce depression.
I am open to receive truth and I denounce deception. And so on. Are you ready? It's your choice. This is your moment of inspiration with Dr. Princess Adelia, here with a mission to help you birth a life of true purpose. Are you fit for the journey to true purpose? Well, knowing is way more than half the battle. So I invite you to visit spiritualpregnancy.info, bountifulgroup.com, and princessadelia.com. Thanks for listening, and I love every last one of you.
Welcome back to the True Purpose Development Show. Here's Dr. Princess Adelia.
Well, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. I want to thank Jay King, the Jay King Network, for having, allowing us to do this simulcast. Well, actually, not a simulcast, this is a direct show. And Kings in the Morning for letting True Purpose Development Show show up as we do every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen, this has been absolutely awesome. We've been on with Mamie Smith, Dr. Mamie Smith, and we're going to be joining her again tonight on the True Purpose Development Show. I want you to join me on TruePurposeRadio.com. You will be able to hear us there, and also it will be simulcast here, right here on the Jay King Network, where you can hear a little bit more. This has just been absolutely awesome and inspirational. Dr. Smith, I want you to share with us where we can find you, where they can get the book, and also be inspired to great change and exchange.
Well, you can get The Unfolding of a Rose on one of my websites, and it's called, here's MAMIELSMITH.com, MamieLSmith.com. You can get all of my books there. I am also on Amazon.com as well as BarnesandNoble.com. I have, I don't want to give you too much to confuse you, but I've got other websites, and you know, you put everything on all of them. But, but those three, I would say, MamieLSmith.com is one that's my working one, and also where I do a lot of my marketing. So if you go to MamieLSmith.com, you can get all of the books there, particularly this one, The Unfolding of a Rose, and then, of course, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you want to read, I've got about 50 articles on SmithMamie.com, Open Thought is my blog, and they are on many, many, many different things, but always basically from a genre of spirituality. I tackle the human experiences, but I come back and give you my thoughts on how you can overcome it spiritually. So, you know, sometimes when you would like to delve into some more reading or whatever, take a look at it.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I want to thank you so much for being on the True Purpose Development Show today in our day segment. And I'm so looking forward to having you on tonight on our entertainment side. It's going to be absolutely awesome. Congratulations on your transformation. Congratulations on you yielding to your life's true purpose. I did this show called Is Your Soul Living in an Abandoned House?
Oh, wow.
And there's times when our soul is crying out so much and we don't hear. We're living in a house with the lights off, i.e., we're not listening to that that inspiring voice. That intuition, that God, that life, and it chooses to leave because it just can't take it anymore, you know, and it goes somewhere else where it can, maybe the lights will be on in the next house, because that's where we are. We're living in a house, and I just want to say thank you for listening, because so many people need to hear your story.
Thank you
so
much for
having
me.
Tonight.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, that is Dr. Mamie Smith, and I want everyone to tune in this evening because we're going to have a phenomenal time with her. what I'm going to close out today with, I'm going to close out with, I'm going to take a song break, Just Do You, because it's really awesome, and it is all about you. Just Do You by India Ari, and I'll be back to do the close.
The show tonight. Thanks for listening, everyone. Don't forget to download, listen, and share on your iPods and iTunes, as well as follow me here on BTR, Facebook, and Twitter, LinkedIn as well. Additionally, follow BG True Purpose on Twitter and the Global World Food True Purpose Movement on Facebook. I'm Dr. Princess Adelia, your talk show host, executive producer for the True Purpose Development Show, your True Purpose Life Coach, here each week with a mission and purpose to help you step by step to fruition to realize your life's true purpose, a life of total fulfillment in mind, body, soul, and spirit, which is what you are. Have a great and fantastic week. I love you.